but I feel like that there was a show in the 80s, I think. It might have been a TV show where the heroes would always say, what's the worst that could happen? Does it ring a bell to anybody that it was some show you'd watch? And then, of course, all hell would break loose on the show.
And then everything goes crazy.
Yeah. Doesn't ring a bell. It sounds familiar, but I can't pinpoint it for sure.
Yeah, so we're having the worst thing I hate if I listen to a podcast and what they do is complain about all their technical issues, but we're going to do that today. So we're having some technical issues a little bit. So we have a little bit of lag again. This is our second show in a row with a little bit of that. So we may have to figure out what's going on. But Jerry, you think it's my geolocation dialed in?
Yeah, it is. And the world has shifted and everybody lives on the internet now. So, you know, we just think of it as little extra traffic.
It's crowded.
It's crowded. Yeah, it's crowded.
All right. Well, I get that. I could take that. So, all right. Well, I guess we can jump right in. Todd, are you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's do it.
Welcome to the CXR Channel, our premier podcast for talent acquisition and talent management. Listen in as the CXR community discusses a wide range of topics focused on attracting, engaging, and retaining the best talent. We're glad you're here.
All right, so I guess we're gonna see how this goes today. So for those who have dialed in or typed in or done whatever you've done to be here, I want to welcome you to the Recruiting Community Podcast. This is your weekly insights and updates in the form of a conversation. So today's topic and guest, we're gonna touch on improving recruiting outcomes. I'm excited about that. I'll introduce myself. I am Pinky and my co-host, The Brain. Welcome, Brain.
Well, thank you, Pinky.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. So it's kind of funny. So we are having a little bit of technical difficulties this morning, but somebody, you know, I had been reached out a couple of times in the way we kind of do this format. Somebody had asked, did we know that we were live earlier? And then of course you scramble, you're scared to death, like Jesus, what was streaming? And you go look, and we're okay. But we've received a couple of people who ask about the format and our delivery, and do we do a script, and do we, like, how much work goes into it? And I think what's worth calling out, Jerry, I think it is for our five listeners, is that this is just supposed to be a conversation. So sometimes the tech necessarily isn't always right, but we don't do a recap. We don't do any editing of this. And that's kind of why we love the live stream piece, right? The pressure of live TV.
I mean, I absolutely agree. I think there's something authentic and there's a nugget or two, and that's really what it's all about. And so you move on to the next. It's great.
Yeah, they're easy. They're 20 minutes. They're easy. For those who have just jumped in and who have joined us, we are streaming on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn. We have just created Blue Sky accounts, but there'll be no streaming there. But we'll let you know, we'll keep you updated. So for those who don't know, new social media platform, we'll see what happens with it. But I was bugging a bunch of branding folks last week, like, you're nuts if you don't go get your name, lock in your name or your company brand. So a couple of people jumping on that and taking advantage of it. So we'll see where that platform goes from a recruiting standpoint. It'll be interesting. Don't know when the podcast will be on there though. In the meantime, you can go to cxr.works/podcast. If you want to see past and future episodes and little notes there. And a couple of things worth calling out. This is a labor of love. We don't charge people to be on the show. If they're invited here, it's because they're doing something interesting, or we think they're just an interesting individual that we want to talk a little bit with, and it's going to shine a light on some of the work they're doing. And also, if you are on LinkedIn, drop a note in the chat there, in the comments piece, and say hello. If you've got questions for the guest, you can go ahead and add those. You can add your LinkedIn profile if you want, do a little networking and that kind of thing. If we can get to those, we will throw them up on the screen and address those. We're happy to do it. Anything else we should talk about, Jerry, before we bring in our guest?
No. Let's do it. Bring in Todd.
Okay. We're going to... Okay. So, Todd, welcome in from the green room. How are you, sir?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on. So Todd, for those who have not had the pleasure of meeting you or working with you, why don't you give us sort of an escalator pitch on who is Todd Phillips at TQL and why should they stay dialed in and listen to what you have to say today?
Okay. I'll try my best. So Todd Phillips, I've been in recruiting now 19 plus years. Actually, I have a very unique background. I cut my teeth from a leadership standpoint in the Army. I spent 9 years in the Army. I'm a combat veteran. I'm a Ranger School graduate. And then I got recruited into recruiting, and that was in the agency world. So I spent a better part of 18 years in the agency world recruiting a wide, I'd say, swath of type of roles and with different companies, with hundreds of companies every single year. My last role with the company I started with was Orion Talent. It was a national agency. I ran recruiting operations for them. We had about 600 plus clients, primarily in the logistics and supply chain space, manufacturing, but we also did, you know, a lot of sales, a lot of hard technology type industries and roles as well. So I ran recruiting operations there nationally, did a little bit of consulting, and I'm in month 8 with Total Quality Logistics. We're the second largest freight broker in North America. We hire about 5,000 people a year here. And so external to internals, I've kind of seen a little bit of everything, and I'm starting to get my feet under me here. And it's been a pretty unique transition. So hoping to share anything I can with y'all.
Yeah, well, we're glad you made it. So you've got some work on your plate, right? I mean, we kind of advertise this. We're talking about, you know, improving hiring outcomes, and I think when we promoted this, I think we said you had some significant initiatives or programs that you were kind of leaning into and leading at TQL or Total Quality Logistics. Can you kind of give us an overview of maybe what those are before we jump in?
Yeah. So, you know, the first thing is, you know, I've been here 8 months. Well, the first 3, 4, 5 months I was onboarding and just observing, right? As a company, the beauty of it is the company is pretty unified in terms of the vision of hiring the best quality candidates we possibly can. So we have two big initiatives that I'm held responsible for here. And the first is hiring manager interview training, which is something unique. You know, from the agency world, you always wish that those hiring managers knew and understood and had a great foundation in interviewing. And we're doing that here across the company. Anybody who interviews, anybody who has a touch on that leadership role will have a foundation there, really targeting our under 2 year population to make sure that they have a great foundation. And if you're over 2 years, it's really, can you learn? Can you get a little bit better? Can you get a little bit sharper? But there's a certification and sign off process there. And that's 50% of, you know, the way we're going to try to tackle the problem. Then the other 50% is it's about recruiter retention and development. Really trying to put some teeth to that and make sure that we're focused on building the most experienced, tenured, productive recruiting team we possibly can. And we've got some sub initiatives there to make sure that we're putting our money and our time and our energy where our mouth is.
I love that. So can you share a little bit about when you talk about this hiring manager interview and the training that goes on here, can you share a little bit about that? Are we talking about certifications and recertifications? Are we talking about scaling that? Is it, you have a formal program that you've built? Did you outsource it? Like, what, a little bit more detail about that.
The beauty of TQL is we have a very large and learning and development team here, and that's who spearheaded the development and creation in conjunction with recruiting. We have a recruiting director specifically who is, you know, spends about 50% of his time on this, in addition to our lead over in learning and development. But it's four phases. The first is an overview of why and how. The second is an interview workshop. The third is we do peer reviews of actual recorded interviews for critiques, and then there's a certification process that they go through to make sure that they're signed off on. And we do not want inexperienced interviewers, you know, interviewing candidates. So they're always paired with somebody who's experienced, tenured, and signed off until they get their certification. Once they're done, then they're clear to go on their own. And And we're still, though, the beauty here is we have an audit process. We'll go back and audit interviews, and we've got certain key KPIs we'll monitor. And KPIs are tailored per department of what we'll monitor. And if there's abnormalities and there, you know, some departments falling short, we can go back and do some retraining.
That is actually the key for me is that you can train people to do something and they'll demonstrate that they've learned what you told them to do. The question is how quickly they revert back to old habits. And right. So auditing becomes the critical component to how that really, you know, works long term. Yeah. So that's great. Sounds super.
Yeah. So we're about 50% through that rollout. The majority of our sales department is in phase three. Our sales support, and that's kind of how we divide up hiring here within TQL, is in the majority of them are in phase one. So
cool.
So Todd, those are not small undertakings. And as you know, as a TA leader, there's never any shortage of any work. I guess my question would be, what inspired the team at TQL to take on these two strategies specifically, like to lean in on these?
It's really about turnover, right? And we know turnover is the inefficiency in the hiring process. So, you know, we're seeing a spike in turnover. We tried to diagnose the root causes, and we looked at two things, right? We were growing extremely aggressively as a company. Well, what does that mean? So you're adding leadership and interviewers, and then you're adding, you know, you're adding to our recruiting force. We expanded our recruiting force, for example, by 25% in a year, right? So you've got a lot of one year recruiters that we've got to make sure that we're developing the right way, we're retaining, you know, and that actually, I mean, I love that hire manager interview training. I think that's a big part of it, but really my baby and the thing that I'm most passionate about is recruiter, the development piece. We had a four-pronged strategy when we did that as well. So we expanded training. We went from when I started, we had a two-week training program for new recruiters. Now it's eight. We've assigned those folks a mentor as part of the process too. So they've got somebody they're paired up with. We've added additional leadership at the supervisor and team leader level to make sure that they're getting the coaching development that they're supposed to get when they get through that. We boosted pay for our entry level roles too, to get them through that first grind so they can focus on training and development. And then as a cohort, as a group, we've just really focused on, you know, making sure that we're hiring the highest quality individuals. So, you know, by raising pay, not only do you retain them, you're able to really raise the bar on make sure that we're bringing the highest quality talent in. So if we do that, we retain them, that becomes a more productive workforce. That more productive workforce brings in a better quality hire. Then you've got interviewers on the backside who are better ready to receive and evaluate those folks. So.
Cool.
I love that. And are there any early trends that you're seeing as a result of leaning in this direction?
There is. I mean, we've seen our retention in our recruiting department shoot up. It's already shot up 5% in a very short period of time in a handful of months, which is very encouraging to see. We're going to monitor. It's a month over month review that I'm looking at. I'm particularly interested. Obviously, we want to retain everybody and we want to grow our team, but that under 1 year cohort, make sure that, you know, that team in particular, there's some more stability there, and to make sure that we're, you know, we're growing that team. So
cool.
Yeah. Are there, so it can't all be rainbows and butterflies. So you do a program this big, you've got a couple of different prongs, right? And you're working on it. Are there any challenges or that you've kind of run into, and maybe you can share a little bit about how you're addressing those?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the biggest challenge is on the expanded leadership piece. I mean, if we're going to give everybody a mentor, we didn't really have enough mentors to begin with. So, you know, what we had to do is, you know, we've prioritized it, right? We bring in people at two levels. We bring in what we call recruiter and training. So they're the priority for receiving a mentor. And then we bring in what we call national sales representatives or recruiters. And what they'll do is, like, they've got a little bit of experience, right? So they'll go through, right now they're going through like a hybrid class, right? That's, you know, it's not not the initial 2 weeks, but it's more of a 4 week program, with just, you know, they're obviously getting structure and guidance from a supervisor. We've got great knowledge gateways, electronic learning, but they don't get the full most robust rollout that everybody else does, that those RITs are getting out, until we grow our team, until we grow our tenure. And once they're as tenured as we need them to be in the forces, then you've got a ready force of mentors, and just a little bit shorthanded right now.
Yeah, I imagine Jerry and I talk about this topic pretty frequently. I'd say frequently, Jerry. Like we talk about mentoring and coaching, and neither of us really love the phrase mentor. I think it implies this big formal program that can be cumbersome, difficult, and is a little aged. But what we constantly get, I think, well, I won't speak for you, Jerry, but I think what I really get constantly kind of tripped up on is the matching component. Like, how do you determine the right mentor or mentee? Do you make sure there's a little bit of a reverse mentoring going on there as well in some instances? Because is it a one-way street, and what that commitment is? I mean, can you share? I know it's early days, but can you share a little bit about how that matching process sort of takes place at TQL?
It's done by at the manager level. The managers know their people. They know how to match them up. So there is a personality piece that goes along with that, for sure. So that's part of it. The other part, though, is they are actually they're counseled or done in briefing by the manager. If you're going to be a mentor here, then there's a set of expectations that they expect you to follow. We do a Q&A with the manager and the supervisor to make sure that they're as ready as humanly possible to do it. So that's really what we're doing. So, you know,
I think internal to companies, there's a need for more formality relative to how it's all being done, or at least the closeness of how the manager engages around that and then continues to test. I think when you're talking about the use of external folks, peers, and colleagues who may be in other companies, in other places, as mentors, it's less formal and much more organic in terms of empowering individuals to reach out to people that they think they can learn from, and making it comfortable for them to reach out to them and say, hey, I'd love to pick your brain over a virtual coffee. And I do think that adults need to be more aggressive in how they teach themselves, if you will, by reaching out to people that they are listening to, admiring, or whatever, so that they can continue their growth.
I think you're 100% spot on. And that's kind of the approach that we have. It's formal. It's written out. It's guided. You know, the supervisor will check in with the mentor and give him a set of task or two that they want the mentoree to execute that week. They'll check in with the mentoree and our new recruiter to make sure that they're accomplishing them. But there is a little bit of that, which is there's some initiative. Like, here's the guidelines. Here's how it's done. They'll each find, you know, they'll kind of find their rhythm together. But we also want everybody to help everybody, right? So it's like, look, I'm a new recruiter here. Raise your hand if you have a question. Go sit with somebody else today. Listen to them do a phone interview. Listen to them do a screening. Listen to them, shadow them when they do a face-to-face. Okay. Do some of that and take it, you know, take some. Obviously, to be a good recruiter, you need to show that yourself. I mean, we can't guide you through everything. We expect a certain level of initiative.
Yeah, I think that empowering that initiative, that people are comfortable being able to reach out to anybody in the company, in the industry, et cetera, to further their knowledge, should constantly be part of what makes for a community and makes you feel like you're belonging to something that's growing and getting better all the time.
For sure. For
sure. Yeah, so Todd, you're talking about the reasons behind these. You're talking about retention, and really elevating that quality, not just of leadership, but elevating that quality of delivery within the organization. But are there maybe particular metrics or maybe even feedback mechanisms that you're using to kind of gauge that success? I know it's manager driven, but if somebody gets involved in that program, is there a whole new set of accountability factors or measurements that come into play for the program?
Do you mean for the recruiter training or the actual hire manager interview training?
Well, I would take both. I was talking about as they get into that mentor program. So upskilling those recruiters.
I mean, we are measuring. I mean, there's two key measures we're watching overall with the recruiter retention and development initiative. The first one is retention overall, right? We're trying to reduce turnover over year over year, but we're also measuring hires per recruiter on a month-to-month basis, you know, versus their trailing 12, for the year. I mean, that's our productivity metric that we're really going to zero in on. So it's those two things, like that we're zeroing in on like a hawk. I mean, that's really, you know, obviously there's a lot of things that go in a recruiting department the size of ours, but I mean, those are the two things I've really zeroed in on. It's like, if we can do those two things exceptionally well, I think a lot of our, you know, a lot of problems solve themselves in recruiting, right? When you have a tenured force and retention is at a high level, when HBR is improving, I mean, those are the two things that really drive productivity right here.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And it's, again, not a small feat, not a small amount of work that you've taken on, but if I'm kind of on my treadmill right now, listening into you, and I'm looking to implement something similar, or, you know, we've been talking about it at my organization, but we've never really taken it on, or sort of stepped up for it, 'cause it is no small task. Are you at a point yet, Todd, I guess, where you have any key learnings or advice you'd offer based on what your teams have been through so far?
I think just be deliberate about it. I mean, just be deliberate in terms of how you build it out. I mean, and on one hand, right? You know, I think it's easy when things don't go exactly as planned, or you hit a hiccup in terms of the number of mentors you have, to completely pivot. And it's like, I think you got to be laser focused on things. I mean, I'm measuring this for the year, not for the month. I'm measuring this for the year, not the quarter, right? And I think there has to be a long view. And I think that's number one. I think the second thing is, you know, I need to make sure that vision is communicated across my team. So every manager, every supervisor, every recruiter has got to know exactly what we're doing. So do the leadership here at TQL. They got to know that, look, this isn't going to turn on a dime, but this is a medium-term investment that's going to pay long-term dividends for us, and it's going to produce a higher quality hire. It's going to produce a more productive workforce, right? The beauty of it here is our leadership is invested in it. They've invested in it in a lot of different ways, but you know, the most tangible being the pay changes, right? And we did a market analysis of our first two rungs of the ladder, and decided that we were a little bit too low, and then we made those adjustments. But you know, the reality is, I wanted those adjustments because, of course, I want to meet a market. I want to pay everybody what they're worth, but I also want to make sure that they have a path. That they're not worried about, hey, making hires initially. They're worried about, you know, being trained to be the most effective recruiter they are when they go live, right, at month two, month three, and that they can be even more productive then versus jamming them into production in week two or week three.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the fact, you know, there are a lot of things we do in business where at the end of the quarter, we need to decide if we're going to keep doing it. But I love the direction of, like, look, this is a long tail strategy. We're leaning all the way in on this. So you've clearly got stakeholders involved that are helping to prop this up, and then driving the communication around that to say there's value in this, and we're investing in you. And that's not a short task.
And it's kind of funny. I mean, so like, I've got this military background. So the way I relate it to my bosses, my CEO and CEO, and I relate it to my team was very similar. I had an attack plan for the year, right? And I tried to make the very simple analogy and show, like, hey, the different rungs of the, you know, different missions that we're going to run this year, and how we're going to measure it, and this is how it's going to look. So we had a whole graphic around it. We're going to have like campaign posters around it just to keep it front and center, and roll out something every quarter to keep it fresh, but keep that. We're not changing. We're still, this is the mission. This is what we're running at. These are the three things we have to attack this year to be successful. And then, you know, then measuring it every month. So like, we've got a nice little scorecard that we keep, then we review with the team and we review with leadership. But those visuals, I think, helped everybody. Hey, look, this is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. This is how it all ties together.
Cool.
Yeah, I love that. Look, Todd, we ask all our guests on the way out the door, if you were going to write a book about your experience on this particular, you know, with this particular program and these initiatives here and your life in this course, what would you title that book?
Oh my goodness, that's a good one, Chris. Probably stay the course. Stay the course, right? Like, and just because, again, like, I think there's certain things you can get low hanging fruit. There's little wins, but like, if you really want the needle movers take time, right? And it takes a level of consistency from leadership all the way, you know, and just the communication to stay the course. I think it's hard sometimes, you know, we talk about the society right now, you want the next new thing, you want the next, no, like, you know, really the fundamentals, the blocking, tackling, recruiting are the same regardless of what industry you're in. And if you see things that are off, you know, you got to stay the course until it's fixed.
I love it. Needle movers take time. I like that. So Todd, present company excluded, who gets the first signed copy of your book?
Ooh.
The last question was the hard question. This is the hard
question. that's a good one. I would probably send it to my mom. Say, hey, mom, I did it, right? Like, you know.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, look, mom, I made it. Is that?
Yeah. I wrote a book, actually.
I love it. Well, Todd, I know you're a super busy dude. We really appreciate you cutting some time out to share with everybody what you're working on. I can't wait internally to the CXR community. I can't wait to hear some more details around those outcomes. You know, we're going to press you to show us the dashboard at the next meeting, kind of show some of those analytics. We had quite a few team members, I think, and leaders who have been talking about programs like this for a while and maybe haven't been able to rally. So I think you're going to be an inspiration on that front.
Great. Cool. Happy to help any way I can. I appreciate the time, Jay.
All right. Good stuff. I guess that's it. So until next week, we are out of here. We'll see everybody next week when we're coming back. Same bat time, same bat channel. I'm just not sure who the host will be. So it'll be fun. All right. Take care, everybody.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the CXR channel. Please subscribe to CXR on your favorite podcast resource and leave us a review while you're at it. Learn more about CXR at our website, cxr.works, facebook.com and twitter.com/careercrossroads, and on Instagram @careerxroads. We'll catch you next time.